Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I ask that you quiet my voice and that you speak your truth through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the human mind is quite a remarkable thing, a God-created thing. My wife can attest to this. There are times where I'll put my car keys down, and a few minutes later, I can't remember where I put them. But there are other things that have happened in my life, such as the day that we got married 28 years ago, that I can remember perfectly. So we have certain days in our lives that we remember. Maybe it was a graduation. Maybe it was some sort of a special day. We have periods, maybe a week, where we went to a cottage and met up with our families, our extended family. And then we even have periods of a year where we can remember. I can remember a special year in my life. It was the year 1964. And there are a number of reasons why I remember it. First of all, there was the introduction of the Ford Mustang, 1964 and a half. It was actually a 65 model. I remember our next door neighbor pulled up in one. And as he was pulling up, I said to my father, I said, "Dad, I think we finally found the perfect Hoffman family car." You know, my sister and I are small people, and even though that back seat is tiny, I figured we could fit into it. I especially thought a convertible would be a good model for us. Now, you have to remember, I was 12 years old, and so I was thinking ahead. My father bought a new car about every 4 years, and that would take me to 16, so that would be perfect. I also remember 1964 because of the invasion of a group from Great Britain, the Beatles, that completely changed the music scene, the rock and roll scene, and continued to change it for years to come. I also remember in 1964, I was entering sixth grade, and sixth grade was still in the elementary school when I was entering. We had not a middle school, but we had junior high and senior high. So I was in sixth grade, and I remember there were two teachers teaching sixth grade, both male teachers, and I was really hoping for Mr. Craniac, and I ended up getting him as my teacher. Now, one of the reasons why I wanted him as a teacher is he was an older gentleman, and he was very mild-mannered, but he was also a great musician. He played the violin. He was with one of the orchestras in town. And what he would do, I remember walking by his classroom on Friday afternoons when I was in third, fourth, fifth grade, and we would hear the violin coming from his room because he would take the last 10 or 15 minutes every Friday and play something for his class. So I remember getting in Mr. Craniac's room, and we had a visit about the second day of school, and it was by a gal who worked for AAA. And she was explaining to us the importance of being a member of the safety patrol. And so she passed out flyers at the end of class, and I took one. And she said, you know, fill these out, have your parents sign them if you're interested in being a safety. And boy, there was nothing that I wanted more than to be a safety. The reason was I was a pretty quiet, shy guy. And as a safety, you know, I could command people to do things. And I could do it legally, which was really a neat thing. So I brought my form back, and sure enough, I was chosen to be a safety. I went to Ten Eyck Elementary School, and I had the corner of Audette and Crescent. That was my post. And I remember the gal from AAA explaining to us how we were to behave as safeties. And when a group of children came up to the corner, we were to hold our hands out, and we were either to say verbally or to think inside our head, stop, look, and listen. Do you remember that? I think that was something all of us have been taught. Stop, look, and listen. And the reason you would listen, besides just looking to see if a car was coming, is because sometimes cars would come from side streets or out of driveways. Stop, look, and listen. So I remember getting my safety belt that first day, and it was kind of a geeky thing to wear your safety belt. You know, we had to do it. But the really cool thing was when you took your safety belt and you folded it up and you wore it on your regular belt, because that's what safeties did. So we would walk around during the day with this badge of honor. You know, it was kind of like having a leather jacket in high school. And this really came in handy, because I remember one day my best friend, Jim Frazier, I was walking into the lunchroom, and he was not a safety, and I was. And I had my belt on, and Jim would always eat his dessert first rather than his sandwich. And so he was taking out a Kit Kat bar, and he was unwrapping it. And I said, Jim Frazier. And he said, yeah, Mike? And I said, weren't you jaywalking the other day? He immediately broke the candy bar in half and gave it to me. So having a safety belt was really an important thing. Now, the reason I'm telling you all this is because the passage that we read in James today, and we've been studying James over the last few weeks, it really made me think about how James not only taught knowledge, but how to apply it. And if you see these signs behind me, I was thinking that a perfect mission statement for a church would be the stop, look, listen, and then the addition of a go. Stop, look, listen, go. And that's what I think James is telling us in this scripture. First of all, he only spends one sentence talking about teaching, but it's a very important sentence. First of all, if we believe that we are called to be a teacher, we need to stop and we need to pray about it, and we really need to discern if that's where God is calling us. We need to look. We need to look back in our life at people who were teachers, perhaps even coaches, drama coaches, art teachers, whatever it was, Sunday school teachers. And we need to think about the attributes that the good teachers had, and if we have those attributes. But we also need to look at the teachers that weren't as good, and see if we have any of those somewhat negative attributes. Then we also need to listen. And yes, that is an ear, as close of an ear as I could draw. We need to listen. We need to take time to teach something and have somebody that is a good critic to talk to us about what went right and what went wrong. Pastor Chris, many times when I teach or when I preach, he does that, and I find that to be very helpful. And then finally, we need to go. And I'm somewhat of an impatient person, but I think it's really better to stick your toe in the water rather than to jump in. So my suggestion, and I know the Christian Ed department probably is a little anxious right now, but I don't think you should go to Pastor Chris or to Sue Young and say, I want to be a teacher. I think what you should do is, first of all, say, I'd like to sub once a month. just to, you know, put your toe in the water and see if it's something that you really are called to do. And then maybe you'll consider vacation Bible school, teaching for 5 days, and then eventually getting into teaching full time. Now, I have a good friend of mine who got a degree in teaching, and unfortunately, when he was student teaching, he didn't have much of an opportunity to teach on his own. His critic teacher was always working with him. And my friend Barry, I remember after he had graduated, the first job he got, he was substituting in a middle school. And he told me, he said, "Mike, I taught in 5 different classes because teachers had meetings." And he said, after the 3rd class, it was lunchtime. And he said, "I remember going to the teacher's lounge, going into the men's bathroom, taking my tie off, taking my shirt off, and wringing it over the sink because I had been sweating so profusely. Those kids just chewed me up." Now, James also tells us in the simple sentence that you need to be careful if you feel you're being called into teaching. And not just teaching, but any leadership position, whether it's a member of session, whether it's a deacon, whether you're a committee chairperson. When you're in a leadership role, you will be judged more critically. So you need to be careful about that. Secondly, James talks about the tongue, and he spends quite a lengthy discussion about the tongue or talking. And what we need to do, just like when we feel we're called for a certain role in the church or role in life, is we need to pray about it, really discern if this is what God is calling us to do. Then we need to look at how we normally talk to people. Do we build people up or are we very critical? And then you need to listen. Listen to yourself, have other people listen to you as you speak. Are you a person that tends to gossip, brag, maybe manipulate through your speech? Do you exaggerate, complain, or even worse, outright lie when you speak? And then finally, you need to go. And when I say go, there are times where you need to talk to people where it's going to be a little uncomfortable. Maybe somebody you know is, let's say, teaching or at least leading a Bible discussion or something like that, and they're a little off base. So you need to speak the truth in love. And I think this is very important. You know, don't call a person out in front of a whole group of people. Take them aside one-on-one and tell them, you know, "The reason I'm speaking to you about this is because I truly care about you. I love you, and I think you're a little off base." And so that's a good thing to do. And I had a Bible verse here that I wanted to put up. "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." And that's Luke 6:45. And then finally, James talks to us about wisdom. Now, most of us would agree that wisdom is a good thing, that learning is a good thing. But I think sometimes we can do it for the wrong reason. A group that I worked with one time, they seemed to really pride themselves on taking seminary classes or reading the Bible, which is a good thing to do. But they wouldn't do it to teach or out of love. They would do it to beat each other up with the Bible, to try to pridefully believe that they had the right knowledge and everybody else had the incorrect knowledge. So you need to check, you know, is what I'm doing with this knowledge, with this wisdom, is it building people up or is it tearing them down? am I bearing fruit, or am I always drawing on people? And then today we started a new adult education class by Bill Hibbles. And one of the things that we talked about today, which I thought was really good, it's knowing when God is speaking to us, giving us wisdom, or are we simply speaking to ourselves, or even worse, is Satan trying to deceive us? And so Bill Hibbles gave us five different ways to look at things. First of all, and I'm going to give you an example of something that actually happened. First of all, we have to see, is this something that would please God? Is this something that is in God's character? A young man that I work with, about a year ago, he got a very good job. He's making good money. And one of the things he decided to do, his father got into kind of a financial mess and owed some people some money. So he decided to borrow some money and give it to his father so his father can pay off debts. So he and I were talking the other day, and I said, do you think this was a whisper from God? And he told me, he goes, I'm not really sure, because I'm not really sure if I've ever heard God speak to me. And so I said, well, let's take this example. So I said, first of all, what you did by borrowing this money, that was a real sacrifice for you, wasn't it? And he said, well, yeah, because, you know, I have to make that monthly payment. And I said, well, think about God. Think about the sacrifice that he made. He sent his son to earth, his son who had everything, and came to earth and ended up having very little, if nothing, and then was nailed to a cross on our behalf. I also told him to take a look at it scripturally. I said, is this something that Jesus would do? And so we talked about it, and we both concluded that yes, you know, Jesus was always about reaching out to the marginalized, reaching out to those who had needs. And so this was something this young man was doing, was fulfilling a need that his father had. The next thing we talked about, is this a wise decision? And this young man, I know he's very good about handling his money, and he made sure that each month he would have enough money left over to pay his rent, to pay his car insurance, to put gas in the car to get to work, and still make this payment. So it passed that test. And then next was, is this a way that this young man is wired, or the way God made him? And I know this young man. He is a great person. He's always about helping other people. So it passed that test. And the very last test is talking what you're going to do over with a group of trusted Christian friends. Well, this was something he really didn't do. As a matter of fact, he told me about it after the fact. He had already borrowed this money and given it to his father. And he told me, he said, how would you have reacted if I told you I was going to do this? And I said, well, you know, I would go through that checkoff list, and I would have some concern about, you know, what if you lost your job, or what if they downsized or something like that. But I said, to be honest with you, sometimes I think it's really good to, rather than test the water, to jump in. And so I think I would have given you my approval. Next, we need to listen. Is this wisdom something that will harm a person or heal a person? And then finally, is this something that will bring glory to God? And we've got another Bible verse here. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12. And then finally, I think you need to just go and do it. Now, another thing that I have talked with some young adults about is the difference between religion and spirituality. And I think James does a good job in the book that he wrote in the Bible, that he talks about religion, you know, knowing the right doctrine, knowing the rules, but he also talks about spirituality. And to me, that is taking your head knowledge and putting it into action. So, stop, look, listen, go. It's that simple. Amen.